I guess I should say good evening first. And I would like to tell you just what happened a short while ago while I was getting ready for the evening. I said to my dear wife, "It's a bad evening. The rain was just pouring down up home." And then I began to think, a bad evening. Why, I should thank the Lord for the sunshine and the rain and the fruitful seasons and for filling my heart with gladness. Oh, how often we need the Word of God to lead, enlighten, and to guide us. I want to speak a little while tonight in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And I would like to begin at verse 30. And you might just underscore right away this portion in verse 30. "I can of my own self do nothing." Isn't that a good verse? "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye may be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. He wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" I am sure you saw, and you, as you were reading with me, the word witness, 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 witness. And I believe very clearly that we have in this portion five witnesses. Five witnesses that give testimony. And I'm sure even in a local court, you must have at least two or three witnesses, at least two, to have anything established. And that is true, very true, in your Bible. twice over in Deuteronomy and in 2 Corinthians 13, I believe it's chapter 1. It's in the mouth of two or three witnesses that everything is established. So, you see, we have five witnesses that we are going to try to bring before you here in this portion. At the home, I know one of our brethren on last Thursday got a kind of a kick out of me when I was telling about the number five. It is given so often in the scriptures. Number five, very important. And I often think of Mr. Landis when he used to speak of the number five. He had a seemingly a pretty big thumb, and it was pointing up. And he spoke of doing the things that your hands find to do. But remember that it must be directed by the Lord. And if you have anything to say about or offend anybody, just remember you've got four fingers pointing out to the one you're offending, but remember there's one that is even pointing back at you. So you see, number five is important. And then I tried to show to the group at the home that I have five fingers on my right hand, I have five on my left hand, I have five toes on my right foot, and I have five toes on my left foot. And then I have five senses. And I don't mean pennies, I have five senses. I have hearing, I have seeing, I have smelling, and I have tasting, and I have feeling. Five senses. So you see, the number five is very important. And here we have five witnesses. And when I look at the first part of this verse and see these words so clearly given, the first part of this verse saying, I can of mine own self do nothing. And if I go up into the 19th verse, I see the Son can do nothing of Himself. Well, how can He be a good witness if He can't do nothing? How can you and I be a good witness if we can't do nothing? And yet, I believe that He is the first witness that we want to talk about. And then, of course, you have the witness of John the Baptist. And then you have the witness of His own testimony. You have the witness of the miracles that were performed. And you have the witness of the Father's voice. And last of all, fifth, you have the witness of the Word of God. So we will try in possibly a little less than the next half hour, to look at these five witnesses. I would like to contrast one that I read here, verse 30, that says, I can of mine own self do nothing. Contrast that with Lucifer, the archangel, son of the morning. Contrast it with him. Did you hear him say, I can do nothing? What does he say? Well, if you want to see what he says, just turn back to the 14th chapter of Isaiah, and we'll get it very clear there what he says in contrast. This world that we're living in is a very competitive world. And if you look at the 14th of Isaiah, we read these words. Verse 12, we first read, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast in thy heart, thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell in the sides of the pit." Now, if you count the many times that he says, "I will," it's five times. Five times. So we find in the scriptures that number five is a very important number. And he wants to make something out of himself. And he wants to exalt himself. And hear the Lord Jesus twice over in this chapter say, in himself he can do nothing. But we're going to see, I trust, that while he says in himself he can do nothing, but he can do, as we often quote, he can do all things through Christ. He can do all things as the Christ, the one who came to seek and to save the lost, the one who came to give life and to give it abundantly, the one who came to make propitiation for our sins, the one who came as the mercy seat for our sins. And in that respect, he can do much. I'll put it that way. And so, what a blessing it is to see here that in himself he can do nothing, but as he relies upon the Father, upon the Holy Spirit, and the triune God, he can accomplish much. And it's a blessed thing that we see his own testimony. And I think that to see his own testimony, we have to look a little further in this same chapter, at the beginning of it, at the Pool of Bethesda. There you had legalists of every kind rejecting the Lord Jesus. And it was there at the Pool of Bethesda that there was a multitude of impotent folks. They were helpless. And by the way, there was lying on how many porches? Five. They were laying on five porches. And the most remarkable thing, I think, about it was that, in fact, when I had my trip to the Holy Land, I saw the spring there at the pool. And at this particular time, in a certain season of the year, at times an angel would come down and trouble the spring or the water. And the water would fill up high enough that one could be put in. And if they were bathed in that water that the angel had troubled, they would be cured of their impotency, be cured of their disease, and they would come out healed. And but there, again, it was competition. Competition. This whole world is made up of competition, practically. And my dear young people that we're getting acquainted with, and you're playing volleyball and softball and basketball, I know that it's a competitive game. And we play to win, don't we? Yes. But isn't it a blessed thing for you to put your hand on the shoulder of even your opponent when he hits a home run or when he strikes you out and say you did a good job? And I believe that your sports, if you carry on that kind of a spirit, will be a blessing to your souls. And get a little bit, as it were, out of this competition and being competitive. Well, there was one man there on the porches, and he was so incompetent that he, when he would work up to where he could get down in the water when it was stirred up, someone would jump in before him. Competitive spirit, and he was helpless. And the Lord Jesus, there at that pool, he looked upon all of those, but he looked upon this poor, impotent fella that couldn't get in the pool. And he said to him, would you like to be made whole? He seemed to be more interested in that one than he was in all the rest. And he said, would you like to be made whole? And think of it, that man was impotent or impotent, whichever you rather have. He was actually helpless for 37 years. Helpless. That was 7 years longer than Jesus was old at the time, because Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30. And here was this man, helpless for 37 years, 7 years longer than the Lord Jesus was old at that particular time. And he says to him, would you be made whole? And this poor fellow says, I have no man to put me in when the water is troubled. I have no man. And Jesus again said to him, well, would you be made whole? And what did the Lord Jesus do? He told him to take up his bed, maybe that heavy cushion that he was lying on, take up his bed and walk. And that man, 37 years, who had never walked, that man got up and walked. And he eventually went into Jerusalem. And those legalistic religious men said, who was it that healed you? Why, you know, when he healed you, why, it was on the Sabbath day. And not only you broke the Sabbath, but he broke the Sabbath. They would rather see that man there in all of his helplessness, hopelessness, rather see him there without being able to walk than they would have the Sabbath day broken. They had not learned the Scriptures that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Scriptures. They're not man for... The Sabbath was made for man, but not man for the Sabbath. So, you see what a legalistic spirit does. And I believe that the legalistic spirit, even today, if the Lord Jesus, this same Jesus, were to come back and to move amongst us, I believe that this same world, the religious world, would crucify him. I cannot think in any other way due to the competitive spirit and seeking to build oneself up and not build oneself up in the Lord. So we find that here he is saying, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And again he says in verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Oh, what a blessing it is to have the will of God, and not, as it were, to witness of ourselves. How often this is done, witnessing for and by oneself, to build me up and to tear you down. It's surprising in this competitive age just what is going on. And what a blessing it is that he came, and he came for the blessing of others, for the building up of others, and he came not for himself. Far as myself is concerned, says the Lord Jesus, I of mine own self do nothing. I possibly couldn't have said that he can't do nothing, but he says, I of myself do nothing. In other words, he was the dependent man. And what a blessing this is. We often quote it, don't we? He was once in the form of God. He was in the form of God, yet he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. I often, and have often heard men, when they read that, every knee shall bow, but it's every knee should bow. And if there's anyone here tonight, I do believe that you should bow your knee. You should bow your knee. Now is the opportunity. Now is the time for repentance and faith and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The time will come when you will have to face hell and damnation and in judgment. But now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Well, I think that we should go to the second witness here. And I believe the second witness here has to do with the testimony of John. Here you find very clearly that he is saying, there is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. And oh, when you think of the testimony of John and how he witnessed, what did he say about himself? I'm a voice. I'm crying out in the wilderness. And he's crying out that men will repent and be baptized and be saved. But he's just the voice. But it's a remarkable thing that many of the Jews and religious people, they did follow him for a season. And the time came in John the Baptist's testimony and witness that even Herod, the tetrarch, had a measure of appreciation of him. But you know that John the Baptist must speak the truth. He must speak the truth, as we read here. And what did he say to this potentate? What did he say to Herod? You are living with your brother Philip's wife. You have taken her, and you're living in adultery. And she also had a daughter that was living with Herod. I don't say that the daughter was living with him as a wife, but it's very sure and was commonly known that Philip's wife was living with him out of wedlock and yet living with him. Well, the time came, you know, when Herod was having a birthday. And I have no doubt that he invited a lot of those who were under his authority and a lot of his dear friends. And it was quite a birthday party. And when John the Baptist whom he had put in prison and he thought he would let him in prison for a period of time, but this daughter, she danced at the party. And she danced so well, so pleasing to Herod, that he said, I will give the half of my kingdom. I'll give the half of it, as much as the half of it, to you, if you desire. And what did Herodias, Philip's wife, say to her when she told her what had taken place? You ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, on a plate. And so she goes back to Herod and she says, you offered me up to the half of your kingdom. Just give me the head of John the Baptist on a plate. And Herod, because of his word, because he would not go back on his word, sent his servants into prison to cut off the head of John the Baptist. Oh, when you think of that, I know a brother once, I remember so well of him saying, are you a Baptist? How many of you are Baptists? Is John the Baptist the head of your church? Well, remember, the head of your church has his head cut off. I don't like that too well, because John the Baptist had it cut off because of the truth. But the remarkable thing is, with the Lord Jesus, not a bone of his was broken. Oh, a brother was just talking with me this evening that he was marred more than any man. From head to foot, he was marred. He had crown of thorns. He had furrows plowed in his back. Blood flowed from head to foot, and yet not a bone of his was broken. And I love to think of that, don't you? As the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. And John the Baptist, he certainly did testify. He certainly did witness well of him, because he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away, beareth away the sin of the world." And what a blessing this is to see the witness and testimony of John the Baptist. Well, I think now we ought to look at another witness. And the third witness, no doubt, has to do with what our blessed Lord himself performed, the miracles that he performed. He says, "The works that I do," notice that, "the works that I do," verse 36, "I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same work that I do, bear witness of me." And I love to think of the work that he did and was doing at this particular time, was a real witness to him. "The works that I do bear witness of me." And that's why he could say, "I don't need the testimony of others, because the works that I do witness of me." He never did any miracle to magnify himself. Never did he do a miracle to magnify himself. He did it for the blessing of others. Oh, we can say others, others. I would to God that I had a heart more for others. Possibly much of my testimony is to build myself up. Not so with the Lord Jesus. Never. All that he did was to bear witness of the Lord. He desired to make it clear that he was Savior. And he did not any miracle to magnify himself, but it was for others. Just let us look at a couple of the ones that he healed. Look at that poor leper that came to him in Mark's Gospel and also in Luke. He was covered with sores. Covered with sores. And the Lord Jesus, he bowed down before the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, "Would you be made whole? Would you be healed?" And he put his hands, I suppose they put his hands on some of those awful leprous places. His body was covered with sores. And that man stood up, and Do you think that that man ever said that the Lord Jesus didn't know what he was doing? Oh no. That man went, and it says he told others. He told others. Then don't you like to think of the sorrowing father of Capernaum? He had only one child, a daughter that was sick. And he said to the Lord Jesus, if you'd just come down to Capernaum and heal her. And so the Lord Jesus went along. But before they got to the house, some of his servants come out and said, it's no use coming. She's dead already. But the Lord Jesus went into the house, and looking down upon that only daughter, what did he say? Talitha Cuba, arise, my daughter. And she arose, and the Lord Jesus gave her back to the Father. Do you ever think that that father doubted whether the Lord Jesus came out from the Father into the world to bring blessing to many? I don't think he ever doubted for one moment, but I believe he was a witness and a testimony to the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to do the Father's will. Well, I can't help but think of that poor widow. It's 8 o'clock now. That poor widow that was following the funeral. And as she was following that funeral, her only son was going to be buried. And you remember what the Lord Jesus did. He touched the coffin, and that little fellow sat up, and he gave him back to his mother. Oh, I'm sure that dear woman never in any way said anything else, but he came from heaven. He came from the very heart of God. He come to do God's will. He came for others. And then last of all, I can't help but think of that hill side out there at Bethany. I remember of seeing it, and we had some ministry as we stood there. But it was there that Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. 4 days. And his body was already being, what shall I say? In plain words, it was rotting. And what did the Lord Jesus say? He looked up and he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, and he was bound with grave clothes, and he said, loose him and let him go. And I can see Mary and Martha. I can see them running up to their dear brother, their only brother, removing the grave clothes, and see them going together back to their home. Oh, do you ever think that they doubted in any way that he was anybody else but the Son of God, who came to seek and to save the lost, to give sight to the blind, and to raise the dead? Oh yes, he spoke in this very same chapter about the two resurrections. Let me ask you, which one of these resurrections will you be in? The first one is the resurrection of life. The second one is the resurrection of damnation and judgment. We're either going to the one or the other. Well, last of all, the fifth witness was Moses. Moses wrote in his book, he wrote of a prophet like unto him that would come, and him they would hear. And the Lord Jesus says, you haven't heard him and you haven't listened to him. Oh, they would say, Abraham is our father. They would say, Moses is our teacher. And yet they didn't believe the teacher. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus our Lord. It's 8 o'clock. Would you have a hymn, or shall I close in prayer? Our dear opener-upper says close in prayer. Oh, what a Savior our God is Jesus our Lord. We thank Thee that He has saved us, and we thank Thee for our salvation that has even placed us beyond the judgment. And we thank Thee that our bodies are marked out even for the first resurrection. We thank Thee for a victorious Savior, and we do trust that we may realize and see these five witnesses that have spoken all so well of Him, and we pray that Thy word may run and have free course in the hearts of every one. And do bless now, we pray Thee, the little gathering that will follow, our dear ones who are going back for others, back to Africa, Shumuma, back in order to tell others that God loves them and Christ died for them, and the Holy Spirit has come to conform them into the image of His own dear Son. So bless, we pray Thee, our social time together and our farewell. May it be with Thy presence and the joy of Thy presence being with us as we give thanks in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.